T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
We're going to talk to Hub.
That's part of the development here. And so I do think it's probably one of the things we should watch most closely on Sunday.
Hub, I have an odd question for you. A couple of people on the text line are noticing it. By any chance, are you playing with a Slinky?
What about Slinky? Slinky's always...
Slinky.
Playing with a Slinky.
I think it's the phone app is what it is.
Okay.
But it does. Yes, it does. I'm trying to remember the jingle. A Slinky. It's a fun and wonderful toy. It does sound Slinky-ish, but it's just the app. It's clean. It's just Slinky-ish.
That's incredible! It's going to be some kind of a record!
Well, and you know, I was so proud of myself because I finally went out last week after my Lucy Live failed on me again and went to the Apple Store and got the right connection for my headset. So I was hoping it was better, but...
It's passable, believe me. It's passable. It just sounds like you're playing with a Slinky, which I think everyone kind of likes.
Slinky, these things are fun for about 2 seconds. Yeah, that's it. Slink away.
Yeah, Hub with a Slinky is good.
Yeah, silly putty maybe next Tuesday.
We worked at the Coleco Toy Factory, Eddie, and made 13 cents a week. We had to eat whatever my father brought home from work. We ate the toys, Eddie, and we never complained, Eddie. We were happy to get that. And then for dessert, they're going to put out a Hostess cupcake, and I got to eat a Slinky spring. And Eddie, I ate so many Slinkies. Every time I hear them... Slinky song and make me stick to my stomach. They walk downstairs alone and in pairs and make a clinkety sound. A thing, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky. A Slinky, a wonderful, wonderful toy. A Slinky. If a girl and a boy, bye-bye, I gotta go. Thank you.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Love a good Slinky, Mac, for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was never a particularly big fan of it. We mentioned it when we played the open at 2 o'clock, as we always do. The double scoop then at 5 for those just getting out and didn't get a chance to hear it. And, I had issues getting it to go down the stairs appropriately, but people were texting us, well, the metal ones do that. No, they didn't. Not the metal ones I had. I don't remember them ever working.
Oh, the rich kid Slinkies went down the stairs? is that what it was? The high-end copper
Slinkies? Which rich kid would have wasted his time on a Slinky?
Right, they probably had like Lincoln Logs or Operation or a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, like the pizza thrower.
Motorized cars.
Yeah.
things like that.
Yeah, of course.
Like our wagering expert today, who helped me with the name, Chad Gilman. Chad Millman.
I said
Chad Gilman. Chad Millman.
Yeah.
From the Action Network. He was talking about his rivalry, his trash talk rivalry. Danny's laughing. You knew I wasn't going to make it through the day without getting back to this. And he's talking about his buddy. Chad now lives in New York, and his buddy's still in Highland Park. And he sends him the trash talking trophies, a 4-foot trophy that you finished second. Boy, you.
But he makes him, the guy and his daughter, put together the second place trophy, right? So
yeah,
the daughter can know how terrible daddy is at picking against the spread.
That's
which,
right.
God, I hope my daughter never finds that out about me.
What an indignity that would be.
That Highland Park trash talking, man, it's rough.
It's tough. Ooh, up there, man.
Send him a trophy.
The mean streets of West Highland Park.
It can
get a little rough.
The hard scrabble of Glencoe is right around the corner.
You're like, far from the lake.
Don't walk down the streets of Wilmette at night.
No, things can happen up there, man. It's tough.
Look over your shoulder when you're going to Once Upon a Bagel.
Right. Homer's could be closed. There's some seedy characters out there.
That's just a joke, everyone. Homer's not closed.
Okay,
don't want you to panic.
Yeah, you'll get
too far.
I love Homer's, though.
No, who doesn't love Homer's? Come on. It's
I
great.
I love Homer.
I love to it. This hour on the Score is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
This has been a fun show today. Keep reading.
And the segment brought to you by Amco Total Transmission and Car Care.
Kind of needed one. Sports downers lately. Antonio Brown's story, a downer. However it shakes out, it's an ugly, ugly saga. The way the Cubs finished last night. All this. And then today, Bears get pile on top of it because Mitch Trubisky now can't talk about the previous week's game. When he speaks on Wednesdays, if you didn't hear, that's news of the day in Lake Forest. Oh, yeah, they got a tight end, too. Some guy who couldn't play for a few other teams.
Yeah, that's not
what's
the news
what's
of
his
the
name?
Day.
J.P. Morgan?
No, something Holtz.
J.P. Holtz is on board. Big, goofy, former Pitt Panther who grew up in Pittsburgh in the 412 listening to a Greg Brown.
I'm sure he did. Us up for you. Did you do that yourself?
It's incredible what we could do with the internet. By the way, I just put it out there, and we'll get to the Mitch news in a second. At Danny Parkins on Twitter, which is the bigger NFL story, Andrew Luck, Antonio Brown? I argue Andrew Luck. I would say, like, Antonio Brown, more days in the news cycle because it's juicier, and he's still playing, and he's still feeding the news, right? So
it's ongoing.
It's ongoing.
He's still an active player.
Of course. But Andrew Luck completely alters the direction of a franchise, and the fact that a guy like that goes away, the ramifications of a player of that caliber going away,
yeah,
I feel like will be felt for a long time. And just what he gave up, Antonio Brown, couple more years of relevancy maybe, and he's gone. I feel like we'll talk about Andrew Luck as a high-profile player who quit the game of football for a long, long time. He will be referenced long after Antonio Brown for this story, I would think. So I voted Andrew Luck.
Okay.
It's close to 50-50 so far.
I have not voted, but I will because I follow you on Twitter. I do
nice
that with my showmates and teammates here, and I will vote for Antonio Brown because I believe that's the right answer.
It's nice of you to follow me on Twitter.
Also, my pleasure.
Promote on Twitter. We should also mention that Theo Epstein will be on with Mully and Haw tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, you can listen to Theo with Mully and Haw at 8 a.m. They also have Eddie Jackson Mondays at 8 a.m., and he's on with us Fridays at 5 p.m. So Mitch Trubisky addresses the media today, and we will play this with full context so you can hear it as we did because it led to an interesting discussion about how much the Bears are protecting Mitch Trubisky from criticism of his past, let's be honest, awful performance.
You talked about the 3rd-and-1 RPO the other day. Or Matt talked about it. Can you walk us through just kind of everything you're evaluating and you're deciding whether to give it or keep it for a throw?
No, I was told not to talk about the last game. There's a lot of decisions on each play, and there's like three or four different plays built in one. Sometimes it's the right decision, sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes I make the wrong decision, but I make it right with the way I execute it. But we're moving on to this week, and we just got to be almost automatic in 3rd-and-1. We got to just make sure we get those.
Was it Adam that told you or somebody else?
I was Adam amongst other people that we're moving on.
Adam is a second-in-command PR guy with the Bears.
That's right. And I got to be honest, I don't think, and Matt Nagy will be asked about it tomorrow, Rich Campbell came on Bears beat writer for the Tribune, and he told us as much, and it would be egregious for them not to. Nagy will be prepared. He'll answer it. And my guess is how it will go is we have a looking forward approach. We have the 24-hour rule. You celebrate the wins for 24 hours. You feel the hurt of the losses for 24 hours. And then it's on to the next game. And that was poorly communicated in a media setting, but it doesn't have to be taken literally. That's how I expect tomorrow to go.
I hope there's some clarity. I would hope Matt Nagy rather, and let's keep this in perspective. When I ask for media to be persistent, I'm not trying to suggest this is something that is of enormous social importance, like the Bill Belichick news conference we were talking about earlier when they kept pressing him. That's a big issue. Rape, sexual assault, big issues. Mitch's confidence, not quite as big. But in Chicago, that is a concern for a Bears fan. And you have every right and reason to be feeling a little bit irpy if Mitch not being able to talk about the previous week's game on a Wednesday afternoon bothers you. It should bother you because they're protecting his confidence, or they're trying to protect him and continue to coddle him. That's dangerous to me, and it's high schoolish. And if Matt's fingerprints are on it, shame on him. Is my initial react. I'd love to hear his explanation tomorrow if it is in fact his. I want to know what good comes out of this. Why are you're exacerbating an already growing feeling that this guy shrivels when the stakes are at their highest? That's what we mocked Kirk Cousins for all late last year and in the offseason, right?
Yeah, the thing is like, the football is what matters most, right? We talked about this when Yu Darvish was struggling and we were parsing his words and body language and that stuff. So once he starts striking out 10 over 7 innings, people are going to forget about that stuff. If Mitch comes out and throws for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in a win against the Broncos, none of this will matter. We've seen Mitch be good on national TV and in big spots. His numbers on national TV are actually better than noon games against the Lions, right? So it's worse. He's worse on national TV in those spots, but we think that he, in the playoff game, he can actually do it, right? He's good in the noon game against the Lions. He's bad on national TV, but we see it in there. We know the talent exists. I think what's interesting about this is it's cumulative. He deletes his social media. We know he's the perfectionist. We know he agonizes over mistakes and is worried about perception.
Well, and we've seen him struggle when standing in front of a room full of reporters
before. Yeah, he did last Thursday.
He's just not real comfortable. He doesn't strike you as a guy who's real confident in himself. Now, that's not the scenario in which he needs to be most confident. I'm not saying it is. Most confident trying to find out, locate Von Miller on Sunday. That's the first priority. Find out where he is.
Of course.
An eye on that guy. 58. Yeah, know where he's at.
Yeah, I think it is.
Mount Carmel Mitch.
It's worth noting. It's worth noting. Is it a huge deal? I don't think so. But cumulatively with all these other things that we're learning about him. And, I mean, Matt Nagy said it after the game Thursday. It's like a big part of his week is going to be about keeping Mitch's confidence high, not let him get him down. And in a game, it makes some sense, right? You want to see that first shot go in,
mm-hmm.
in basketball. And if you're slumping, it's like, right. All right, get to the free throw line, get a layup, see something go through the net. Call plays early in the game to move the sticks and make Mitch's confidence go high. That's normal to get in the rhythm and flow of a game. But Mitch Trubisky should be able to answer or at least face questions about 4 days ago.
Yeah, and I understand an organization's want to move forward, but they haven't had access to the guy since Thursday night. And when they did, he had not seen the film. You know how they always, I got to look at the film.
Yeah.
Did you really? You know, look at a set film a second time, see if Allen Robinson waving his arms above his head, jumping up and down with nary a defender in his area. You need to see that again to realize he didn't see the guy?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, there could be a little bit of media training here, right? So while I would say it's not practical to do this, if it is, let's say it is a policy. Don't talk about last week's game on Wednesday because we're looking for it. Let's say it is. I don't think it is, but let's say it is. Well, then he can never talk about what he learned in film because he talks Sunday right after the game, hasn't watched the film, watches the film Sunday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's just never able to talk about film study. And so the right way to do that, and he can be taught that, we just played some Bill Belichick stuff. He doesn't have to give you a good answer. Hey, Mitch, did you, after looking at the film, did you make the right decision on the 3rd-and-1 RPO when you kept it and ended up getting sacked instead of giving it for the run, given that you only need to pick up 1 yard? He could say, listen, there's a bunch of decisions that always happen in the game. I'm not going to get into specifics about any one play, but going forward, we just need to be better and down in distance.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good answer, but it is an answer.
Text from the 312. If Mitch Trubisky is only available once a week but can't talk about the prior week and is guarded about the upcoming week, then why even cover the press conference? It would be of zero value under those conditions.
You're right.
I agree, and what's the next step? Not talking, period, on Wednesdays? He's only going to talk after games? And again, this is not because we're in media. We're not waving a flag for our brethren who are beat reporters for the Trib, the Athletic, the Sun-Times, the radio people, TV. That's not what it's about. What my disappointment is this is more proof that the trigger man and the guy I hope the Bears will want to pay $100 million to sometime very soon isn't mentally tough enough to take NFL pressure, because with that title as Bears quarterback, a team expected to compete for a championship, comes enormous pressure, and it comes from the internet. And it comes from questions you have to answer about disappointing performance.
And listen, this text, I understand where this person is coming from. Give the guy a break already. I doubt either of you were in similar, quote-unquote, quarterback positions at your respective jobs at 25. Unfortunately for Mitch, that's the prime. Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes. Look how Sam Darnold handles these press conferences with the New York media. Unbelievably poised. Baker Mayfield being defiant after the game about his bad game against the Titans. Lamar Jackson hearkening back to past criticisms. Oh, pretty good for a running back. Man, that's the job.
Yeah,
he's
got to
be
job.
Ready for it at 25.
That's the job. I don't know what the point of
Don't treat him like a normal 25-year-old. Don't treat him like a rookie. His peers who are facing this exact same thing are also 25.
We both have experienced from our management teams over the years, different occasions here and elsewhere, where we've been told not to talk about certain things. I don't think it was germane to a day of the week.
Yeah, we've been told not to talk about things. That's true. How often did you follow those edicts?
Usually when there was a disciplinary action taken, it's kind of funny. I always get the biggest kick out of that. Tell your audience why someone's not on the air. If a cat has been suspended for content unbecoming, if he's been suspended for whatever the reason might be, let the audience know why he's not there. We demand of our teams being forthright. We salute them when they're transparent. Oh. And yet when somebody within our own house is out of line and he gets pulled off the air for a day or for a week or for a month, that's so hypocritical. That is so indicative of the pretzel logic that permeates this business.
I just experienced a story with this last week. I can't believe I didn't tell you about this, and I don't know if I should on the air, but who cares? That's not what this show does. So a young kid who I didn't know gets referred to me. He's hosting in a non-daytime day part. It's his first gig in an NFL market. That's all I'll say. I'm not gonna give up the station or the market. And the team is partners with the radio station. So they air, you know, say it's the Bears. They air Bears, you know, the Bears coaches show and that sort of thing. So they have a business relationship with the NFL team.
I leave at the end of the month.
The kid, I'm calling him a kid, 24-year-old, 25-year-old host, was critical of a coaching decision. Totally not personal. No shot. He sent me the audio, right? Suspended him for a week because they said the edict was to have the relationship with the team was the top priority. He was too young to have strong opinions. He should be asking questions, not opining.
Why'd they give him the microphone?
That's what I said. And he had to write a letter of apology to PR for stirring things up as a talk show host. So we can complain about this is an NFL market this season doing that to a talk show host. So listen, this is bad. It's a bad PR misstep, but it ain't that bad. That's an NFL market.
Those of you considering broadcasting as a career, go back.
Isn't that crazy?
Become a lawyer. Do something useful.
Isn't that sickening?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's terrible. They're so sensitive, and teams this day and age with PR staffs, they've got, you know, millions of followers on their Twitter accounts and their Instagram accounts, and they get a bunch of traffic on their website, so they don't see the value of it. Yeah. So they're getting more and more guarded and more sensitive to criticism.
Not in the least bit surprised by your story, but always just physically reacting to it. Shaking my head, my hand, my face is in my hands as you're telling that story, because that's out there. I'll tell you. I know who it is. I know where it is.
But the guy told me about it, and he's like, what do I do? I know you've had, you know, I was referred to you because I know you've had trouble with this sort of thing in your past. I'm like, man, if your boss doesn't have your back, you're screwed. Period.
Right.
Point blank.
Those of you who have continued, and you did this earlier, some did it earlier, some are doing it now, expressing how you as fans, none of you care about his PR skills. None of you care about what he says to goofballs like us. That's not, we don't care about. What we're worried about is this is bigger picture. This is a guy whose confidence is so off the chart, non-present when things go bad that they have to shelter him. It's not about media. It's not about our jobs. It's about your quarterback, your leader, not being able to handle
they the think heat it's necessary.
That the kitchen provides. It's, you know, we illuminate some other things that he's done, getting rid of his social media accounts and other things he's done and talked about that leads you to believe he might be too fragile to handle the pressure of his status as quarterback of an NFL team.
Eddie Jackson saying, just so people know, that's why I keep saying it's cumulative here. Eddie Jackson saying the booze bothered him, deleting the social media accounts, the team saying we got to build up his confidence after that performance, this issue with, you know, don't talk about last week when asked. You add the things up and you wonder, wow, do the Bears think Mitch can't handle negativity or pressure? And it's just, you couldn't imagine someone saying that to Aaron Rodgers before he walks into a press conference. It's just beyond the realm of possibility.
At the college level, that's where it should end.
Yeah.
That's where it should end. Not that there shouldn't be some coaching. You might not want to do this. You might, but.
Oh, coaching is.
Yeah, is coaching
you're not doing your job
fine,
if you're not coaching.
You can't talk about the. Bears.
September is back to school safety month. Boop. AAMCO's free multi-point inspection includes a free brake check, and they offer expert repairs to ensure your vehicle can stop safely. Transmission, engine repairs, brakes, maintenance, and everything in between.
Squash.
Search AAMCO for the location nearest you. We'll follow up on this, maybe a little baseball. Mac's big dinner with both bosses tonight.
It's going to be a doozy, Judge.
We got lots to get to. It's Mac and Park. It's on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I didn't know a lot about him other than I knew he was a good player because when he came out in college, out of college, we were drafting very late in the first round in San Francisco at the time. So they said, don't even bother watching him. So I didn't watch him as a collegiate. And with him in Oakland and me in the NFC, I really didn't see him play a lot. And then when we got him, and it was – just after a few days, it was like, you know, holy.
Yeah, Khalil Mack will make a lot of people say holy bleep. That's Vic Fangio discussing Khalil Mack ahead of this weekend's game, Bears and Broncos. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves open the season Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. All right, I'm going to ask you a simple question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think the Bears win Sunday?
No. I have 670thescore.com. A lot of guys participate in the predictions. It's my understanding Jason Bernstein is doing the prognosticating for his pappy, Dan Bernstein, because Dan never thought there was any percentage in picking a score. He just never has found any joy in it, so Jason is happy to put his little newts on
the line. Jason knows more about football than his dad.
Well, there is that. You said it, not me.
So we all put it out there, and I got it to Cody today. I have Broncos 19, Bears 17.
Whew.
Yeah.
I am not ready off of one game to pick against a Bears team that I think is more talented than their opponent. And where I think that they have the better quarterback. As bad as Mitch is, I think he's better than Flacco at this point, and I know their roster is more talented.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to panic off
all
one game.
Let me ask you, because I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, and when I think of how this thing shakes out, I ask myself, how do the Bears get to X number of points? First of all, you got to find how many points do you need to win this thing.
Because I figured the Bears' not defense many. Will – right. I'm thinking 17 points will win it. Why do I pick a 19-17 Bears loss? Because I've got the Bears' offense giving up to get them up because that's what they do, getting their own way. I think the defense can hold Denver to within to 17 points, but I don't think the Bears' offense can keep Denver off the board.
God, that's not good. The offensive line, I guess, could be worse. They were more dominated against Green Bay up the middle than, like, I thought Charles.
Oh, it was everywhere.
It was, but.
It was on the 3rd-and-1 RPO that was supposed to go to Shaheen, too. There were so many different things that.
It was, but I felt like every time Trubisky stepped up into the pocket, he was stepping up into pressure. And Kenny Clark dominated James Daniels noticeably often.
The pocket did collapse a lot in the A-gap. There's no doubt about that. It would be a good idea to get him rolling out more, you think?
Yeah, I think you got to get him on the move.
Some called runs and get him on the move more. It's not just because of the first week. I thought going into the season this was a tough assignment for them.
It's a tough spot.
Yeah, it is a tough spot. It's a tough place to win. And, I think they have had an advantage having a little bit more time. I don't expect it to be a real well-played game. Now, I could be completely out of my mind. I thought the Bears-Packers game would be much better than it was. So who knows what we're going to see? None of us know. That's why it's gambling.
Yeah, none of us know. I do think that the Bears' pass rush should be very effective in this game. Juwan James, who is one of the most highly thought of right tackles in the game for the Broncos, he suffered a serious knee injury in their last game. So they got a backup tackle against the Bears defense and Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd. I like the Bears, and Joe Flacco's a statue back there. There's no option to roll him out. So I do like the Bears defense's ability to generate pressure.
You have three of the most highly regarded pass rushers in the game in 2019 who all went sackless in week one. And I have a feeling those guys, talking about Von Miller and Bradley Chubb of the Broncos and Khalil Mack of the Bears, none of those three had a sack in week one.
Yeah.
And the Broncos players were criticized at length for their disappointing effort against the Raiders because they didn't protect well.
They didn't
do much well.
No, that game was ugly. The Bears game was ugly. And then also when the coaches know each other as well as they do, and I do think the story gets a little overblown, but that probably leads to an uglier game because if you always know, you play people to a stalemate more when you know them well, right? Like if you and I play a game of strategy against each other a bunch of times, you know my moves and tendencies. I know your moves and tendencies.
Absolutely.
That leads to getting bogged down a bit.
Well, and that's, Danny, that's why I'm dismissive of the theories. Not summarily dismissive, but I think it's not looking at how things have gone for a long time. When people say, it's been suggested a lot, Adam Hogue, I'm told, is the guy who is the guy who's been shouting from mountaintops that the Bears have given too many tells. Matt Nagy has put too many things on tape. The league is very... Look, there isn't a coach in the league who hasn't been figured out. They all know what the opponent's tendencies are in certain formations. That's nothing new. You have to go out there and execute it. You see it. Then you have to go and shed blocks and make tackles. Most of these coaches do a pretty damn good job scouting the opponent. Probably over-scouting. They pour over the previous four games of tape and know every tendency for every formation, down in distance. All of those things are computed mathematically, so they know the percentage chances of certain things happening. So that's nothing new, just because Matt's now had a year in the league. I don't think that's as significant as a lot of others are intimating.
I don't know how significant or not it is. I think we need a bigger sample of it. Like that game was an F offensively. It was an F execution, play calling, blocking.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, oh, Tariq Cohen didn't have a handoff. Well, he did the first one of the game that he dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just everything about that game on offense was so herky-jerky that
right.
I hope that it's rust, that it's preseason and not playing since last year and the first game jitters and all of that, because I don't believe that the Bears offense got worse with everybody getting more experience in the system and adding David Montgomery to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they got worse. they looked like they got worse. So I expect them to be better because
they have to be.
It's almost impossible to be that bad.
It really would be, wouldn't it?
Right. It's almost impossible.
Yeah. You go backwards on the number of carries you're giving Montgomery. He's going to have four this week. Yeah. You thought six was low. Here's four for you. Tariq Cohen, not getting targeted more than three times.
Hey, I
Mighty Mouse my ass. We'll make him disappear.
Abrupt right turn, but I wanted to get to this before we we get out of here. September 11th is today, 18 years since the 9/11 attacks. I shared some things on my social media on Twitter that I always like to pass along today in terms of just, you know, the Howard Stern live broadcast is a hell of a listen. He goes from telling a story with having Pam Anderson in town and after they hung out in studio and them going out and him having a chance with Pam Anderson to a report about it's just an incredible listen. Mm-hmm. And the whole 5-hour broadcast is on air. The man in the red bandana is an unbelievably inspirational story with a sports tie-in, a former Boston College lacrosse player who could have gotten out of the tower and saved himself, went back in, saved 11 lives. So that's all there. The links are on my Twitter page. But a story about Matt Nagy that many people probably don't know. Matt Nagy, on September 11th, he watched the news and took in the day with two very high-profile people. One, Doug Peterson. Two, Brett Favre. Because the Packers had brought him in for a tryout that morning after Delaware, undrafted, okay, rookie free agent. He is trying out for the Green Bay Packers, conducts the tryout, and then all the planes get grounded, so he's not able to catch his flight home. So he stays at and around the facility, and the quarterbacks take him out. And he watches 9/11 on the news with Doug Peterson and Brett Favre.
I was unaware of that story. Thank you for sharing.
I just think the sports tie-ins. And yeah. I remember going to the first Notre Dame game after 9/11, and it was a very powerful thing. And Sammy Sosa running out with the American flag, and Piazza hitting the home run, and George Bush at the World Series. I always think about the sports tie-ins because that's the first event of my generation's lifetime that's the – you remember where you were and you will for your entire life.
Jim Fossil was the head coach of the New York Giants at the time in 01. And the stories I saw out of New York about all of the time Fossil put in on his own to get to know some of the families. I mean, not just on a cursory level, not show up with a bag of groceries and a handshake and a picture opportunity, but to maintain relationships with several dozen people who lost loved ones, firefighters and other people who perished in the World Trade Center was incredibly inspirational. An opportunity to see some of the good in sports because we see so much of the bad in it. And sometimes when things are at their worst, when we're gutted spiritually, emotionally, financially, all the other ways, it takes something like that to get the good filling to replace it. And it has taken all of 18 years and still will continue for those who were affected by it most directly. 3 years ago, Danny, on the 15th, I spent a good 2 hours looking at video of 9/11 and reading stories about it, and it hit me so hard that morning 3 years ago today that I wanted to take a good break from it and not go back to it for several. I'm sure I will when we hit 20 in 2 years. What I didn't realize, and I don't know if a lot of people knew this to be true. Maybe it's just me being a dope. I don't know. We saw a video of people jumping from the World Trade Center. I had no idea the volume of people who jumped. I thought it was, you know, a few dozen people. They estimate that as many as 300 or 400 people chose to fall to their death.
Have you
read? And watching the video of many of them, it was just so sobering and so sad.
Yeah, terrible. Two things on that. One, a lot of the footage that you can watch of, you know, Rudy Giuliani approaching the towers or, you know, things of people like that, you could see or you could hear. They're like not in the camera shot. You just hear the noise, and then you'd see them stop and realize what it was. So there's the big horrifying thing in front of them of the towers burning. And then there was the small horrors of realizing what the loud noises were around it. So there's that. And then I don't know if you've ever read anything about it, but there's a photo that I believe a Time magazine photographer took, the falling man. It's an unidentified person. They some people think they know who it was and were able to put some things together, but it's been unidentified. And the story and some of the magazine journalism done around that photograph, it's one of if not the most powerful photographs that I've ever seen. And it's worth reading about the photography and how they went about the identification of it. It's so you could Google the Falling Man 9/11, and there's hundreds of stories about it.
I will do that. Probably 2 years, but I will do it. And I've never heard Howard's show. I've heard you and others extol the virtues of it. Dan and Terry Boers and Bernstein worked that day. We were told that up the dial, we are off. We're going to take a few days off. We're going to carry ABC Network News.
So. Yeah,
and I was most comfortable with that.
Yeah,
shocker.
Yeah.
I did
you go to college?
I didn't have anything that I wanted to say
sure.
on that day. I spent the afternoon in a place that's very foreign to me. Church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I went to church. I remember some of the kids at freshman in high school didn't really know why the World Trade Center, a lot of people.
Yeah.
But my parents working in the market.
Right.
You know what I mean? My dad worked in the at the time Sears Tower. And they evacuated it. And that was one of the news updates that we got. And so I just remember everyone talking about why the World Trade, what's going on, and just talking about the seriousness of it.
If you have a chance to get to New York and have time to go to Ground Zero, Freedomville, what is it called? Freedom Tower?
Freedom Tower.
Yeah, the monument there. You should do it. I will feel the need every time I go to New York to go there.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's an incredibly powerful place. So I apologize to
no, always leave them say, laughing. And Texters who recommended United 93, you're right. I thought, I didn't think I would be in on it, but I thought it was very well. It's got Patrick Sainsbury, so I mean, how bad can it be, right?
Yeah, it's we talked about it with him. The Falling Man, the Esquire piece is the piece on the photograph. I can tweet that out later on as well. We'll bring in Joe Ostrowski coming up next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
The people talk.
A lot of Joe Ostrowski this week with these West Coast Cubs games. It's been nice to see you, Joe.
Yeah, usually do transition once every few weeks, but 3 days in a row here.
I would expect a lot more of that in October.
It looks like it.
I know.
That's something I want to talk about tonight because it was in March. October is now. In April. October is now. World Series or bust. That's the only way Joe Maddon stays. And now it's kind of like, if they get to the DS, it'd be nice. Be nice if you get a playoff series.
If they're not going to beat, but if it's the Dodgers, why bother, right? I mean, Danny Plesac tried to state a case for the Cubs beating the Dodgers today. I'm not having it.
Yeah, I think most Cubs fans are down right now and driving in here and sack on with you guys. He lifted our spirits up a little bit, but he didn't sell me on the Cubs doing anything. Yeah, he wasn't sold on the Dodgers. I'm like, really?
Yeah, that's the team
John
in the
Morosi
National
wasn't
League.
Either, right?
I know. I know. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to open. I don't know. Predictions. I will be disappointed if it's not, because I don't like to, if I'm not interested, I want to see the two best teams. I think most of us want to see the two best teams in whatever sport you're talking about.
Yeah.
And those are the two best teams. And they're the two best organizations in baseball and have been for 5 years now.
They're definitely the two best right now. They've definitely been the two best teams over the course of the year. I don't have that same want every year in baseball because there's always randomness and upsets in the baseball playoffs. You know, in football, I feel like I'm getting robbed if I don't see the two best teams. In the NBA, I really feel like I'm getting robbed if I don't see
I don't want to see the Braves or Cardinals in the World Series, do you?
I don't care. I don't have the same care about the World Series that I do the NBA Finals
see,
or the Super Bowl.
You know, I get that, but would it make you watch it if they were two prolific teams?
I'd be more interested if it was Dodgers-Astros than Cardinals-Astros.
Yeah.
Of course, it would be a better series, but I guess I don't feel as cheated as a sports fan as I do in the other sports. Like, when Kevin Durant wasn't there, you know, in the NBA Finals, and there's a big injury, and I'm not seeing the best teams at their... That's what basketball is supposed to be. Like that's
sure.
Seven game series, the best team usually wins, that sort of thing. Baseball, because it's 162 games that gets boiled down to best of one, best of five, best of seven, random stuff happens all the time. So it doesn't offend my sports sensibilities as much if the two best teams don't meet in the World Series.
And at this point with this Cubs season, we're just waiting for the bitter end, however it wraps up. And, okay, how are they going to move on from Joe Maddon? How are they going to handle that? And then today, kind of under the radar, what is going on with Jason McLeod? You're not really? Are you sure? It didn't say promotion.
They're trying to keep him from booking a flight to Logan to go talk about the job in Boston problem. But that's my suspicion.
Why would they hire him?
Hap,
Almora? Where's the pitching prospects?
Why would the Red Sox hire him, you mean? Okay.
What has Jason McLeod done to deserve a promotion, if that's what it is?
How is it not a promotion? Director of amateur scouting to director of pro personnel, right?
It didn't say it.
No, I know, but instead of scouting guys who aren't on the team, you're dealing with the guys who are on the big league club.
Does he deserve it? They haven't developed any pitching how many years?
But he's not the director of player development. I see what you're saying. I mean, the amateur scouting hasn't been as good, but I don't know which guys they give him credit for. Like, who are his wins? I don't know the answer.
Schwarber?
Well, that was also... who's the scout? Why am I blanking?
Passed
on his
away,
name?
Yes.
Who passed away and had the legendary scouting report on him that convinced Theo to take him. Text line will have it. But I don't know whether or not he deserves it or not, or how interested the Red Sox would be or not. But I do think that timing is too coincidental for me to not think it's about keeping him away from another job.
Or Theo, and then it's going to be Jed and McLeod running the show.
Yeah, man.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, God.
Just kidding.
God, that's not happening.
It don't bothers you.
It wouldn't make any sense. It would not make any sense.
Cubs baseball will preempt us tomorrow and again for most of Friday.
Yeah.
Thanking our guest today, Rich Campbell from the Tribune, Danny Plesac from MLB Network, who's in baseball's top 10 in career appearances. Who
Paul
else was Charge with us today?
And Chad
Charge
Newman.
Was here, yes. And Chad, the Highland Park trash talker.
That's exactly right, from the Action Network.
Throw my car wax at you.
Let's see here. Sean was producing in.
Sean Anderson. Nice job, young lad.
In for Shep. We appreciate that.
And Rick Camp in studio.
I'm sure he was here. Chris Dickens was helping out today. We appreciate that.
Stan Zielinski, your guy?
Stan Zielinski, yes. Okay. Is who I was talking about.
Thank you, Texter.
Thank you. I apologize for forgetting.
I wasn't motivated enough to put my fingers on the keyboard.
Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. Joe Ostrowski coming up next. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
It was continued with dinner later that night.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.